Thank you. Good morning. First, thank you to Pastor Gary. Just for being, I'm humbled to be able to share with you all my story. You know what I've been through, and some of you all may know. And so I want to talk to you all about pain because I have a chronic pain illness. And so even this morning I had pain, to where I live in pain every day. And it can really take a damper on your faith. And you say, Lord, why am I in so much pain every day, all day? What's your purpose? And I used to, you know, say to God, what did I do to deserve this? And then I realized that, you know, no pain is greater than what he experienced when he sacrificed his life for us. And so I'm like, I'm over here complaining for nothing. But I wanted to share with you all a scripture that really is encouraging to me every day. And that's Psalms 61. And it says, hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer from the end of the earth. I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And this scripture is really, I guess, special to me because the morning when I had to have brain surgery, Craig and I meditated on this scripture. As I was so, of course, you know, in any type of surgery, even if it's inpatient or outpatient, you don't know if you're going to wake up. And, you know, I was so nervous, but he and I was just, you know, praying and trusting and believing in God that everything is going to be well. And, of course, it is because I'm here today. So we praise God for that. So that's why it's really, really, really special to me. But then also I've had challenges this year. And, you know, I dealt with a postpartum depression. A lot of women don't want to be really honest about that. And dealing with it as a new mom. And then also dealing with the chronic pain all at the same time. It can be very difficult, and every day is a struggle. And I would focus, I'm still dealing with this, where I would get so mad at the things I can't do. To say, you know, I can only do one thing. Oh, I can only go to Kroger today, and I can't do multiple things, because when the pain gets so intense, you can't think. You can't process things, and you know, you have to constantly remind yourself, okay, God, you said you won't put more on me than I'm able to bear, but Lord, how much more can I bear? And sometimes you would feel, you know, guilty a little bit sometimes of always complaining. And I know for me, I would always go to other people regarding my problems, my situations, before seeking him first. And so when I had issues about my pain, and, you know, I would just like, oh, Lord, you know, I would call up my girlfriend and I can't get any comfort from them, or call my mom and she can't help me. But, you know, I'm reminded of, you know, seek God first when it comes to a situation. And I would feel so overwhelmed, and I kept on thinking about that word, overwhelmed. What does overwhelmed mean? And I had, you know, I looked it up, and it said, you know, to be buried deep, sunk, turned upside down, sudden strong emotion, feeling defeated. And and that word was just in, you know, Psalms 61, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. So every day, it's that constant reminder. And, you know, I think about Philippians chapter 4 when it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, you know, by prayer and supplication, making your request known unto God. And that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will regard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And I have my little notes here because sometimes I forget. But, you know, I had to learn, I'm still learning. Every day for me is a roller coaster of emotions. And when you are reminded of any type of pain, pain can be not physical. It can be emotional. It could be a loss. If you have issues with employment, finances, and that can really, really put a damper on you. And I've just learned to just trust in God in spite of what I'm going through. And this past year, I've had three different types of treatments. I do Botox injections. So I get 31 injections in my head. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Actually, I'm coming up for another one on Friday. And it's just really hard. But yet, you know, in 2 Corinthians, when Paul was dealing with his own pain, when he said he pleaded with God, three times he made his petition to him. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't want to misquote that, but it says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, which is any physical, mental weakness, if it's your lack of strength, shortcomings, imperfections, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so, you know, I say, Paul continues to say, I take pleasure in my reproaches or disappointments, in needs and persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, you make me strong. And Lord knows I've been weak, but I constantly say, Lord, I need you. I need you. And then, you know, in my study time, you know, God reminds me there's so many people who are suffering in pain, but he's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. So what he did by healing, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, or, you know, and then the blind man who could not see, you know, to have our faith and trust in him, that he can still heal us. He is no respecter of persons. So what he's done for someone else, I know he's going to do for me, despite of what my situation may look like. Because for me, I mean, this is, I'm talking to myself, because it's a constant reminder every single day. And I've had my dark moments, and Craig can tell you, I've had my dark moments where I didn't want to get out of bed. When depression is so heavy on you, because all you, it's just that heaviness of, Lord, all I feel is pain. I don't know what it feels like to not be in pain. And I've been dealing with this for, I was diagnosed in 2013. You know, treatment after treatment, pills after pills. And I felt like I was a guinea pig. If this treatment's going to work and that doesn't work. And although I had brain surgery, that didn't work. Brain surgery actually caused more complications. But when you are desperate, you don't know that. You know, doctors say, oh, you know, it's a 94% success rate. But then I, you know, the Lord said, well, whose report will you believe? you know, trust in me. And then I realized my pain wasn't just for me. My pain is also to be a blessing to someone else. Because, you know, come Sunday, we can sit up here and talk about all the bells and whistles and make you feel good. But when you go home Monday through Saturday, you get hit again. You know, you have that spirit of heaviness. You have that anxiety, that being overwhelmed of, Lord, what am I going to do? And there are times when your brothers and sisters are not there. You know, so who do you turn to? And then, last, I don't want to take up too much time. I was reminded, when I was doing my study time, in Matthew, let's see, did I not write it down? I believe Matthew chapter 6, when, Jesus' disciples couldn't cast out the demon out of the little girl. And Jesus was figuratively speaking about the incalculable power of God when unleashed in the lives of those who have true faith. When Jesus made a reference to, if you have faith a size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, and you can say to that mountain, mountain, be moved, either here or there. And daily, I remember maybe a month ago, I had to remind myself, it only takes just that small size of faith to say, okay, God, even if you choose not to heal me, which I know you can, I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to honor you. And I'm still going to give you the glory, despite of what my situation may look like. It doesn't matter. And, you know, just continue to trust in him and work past through that pain. And then another favorite scripture of mine is James chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, when it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And my husband can tell you, I am not a very patient woman. I like things done now. and if you can't do it at the time that you do it, then I'm going to end up having to do it. so the Lord knows that he has worked on me when it comes to patience. And especially with when you go into those various trials and knowing, Lord, how much more I can take. What is your purpose for me? And then I look at my daughter and say, that's my purpose, because if I didn't experience all that I've gone through, I wouldn't be able to be at home with her. Yes, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but not by choice. Because of pain, you know, I am home. And so it's just been a blessing to be able to look at her, because when doctors say no, we advise you not to have a child. Your body can't take it. You're not going to be able to take care of her. And I said, but you know what? I believe that in God, all things are possible. So when man says no, God says yes. And even with Hannah in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and when Hannah is making her petition before the priest, constantly seeing her day after day in the temple, and he looks at her and says, woman, why are you constantly here? You know, and just seeing her faith, despite of that pain of her being barren, you know, God blessed her, you know, and having that grace and having that favor. And lo and behold, Samuel, which is, you know, a wonderful prophet. So, you know, there was a purpose for her life. And, you know, the Lord is just so wonderful. And so I just thank you. I don't want to take up too much time, but just to share with you all my story and stay encouraged.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you.
Amen. Very well done. Very well done. You can kind of be around Kesey and know there's some strength in there, some spiritual strength in there. And that's kind of why I asked her to come up this morning and share some things, because I knew just remotely, but I knew she had a testimony and that she was going through some things, but she still was encouraged. So I didn't know that detail. So it's good to get to know Kezia, you know. It's good to get to know Kezia. And it's good to be in the house of God. I've enjoyed everything this morning already. What's been said and what you felt and the heart of the Father for this congregation of people who he has designed for a change and who he has put a special spirit on and who he has a special purpose for and how he has set things up for us all to walk in a different calling, you know. And so we have to sort of embrace that, like was said, embrace the cross, but also embrace the miracle. I can't get past the fact, you know, I was talking to Rob yesterday. If you ever talk to Rob, just get ready. Just get ready. I hope you got your booster seat on and everything. Put your seatbelt on. There's a spiritual push here. And Kristen said it very well this morning. There's a spiritual push here that the Father is not going to let go on. He's just not going to ever let go. So if we don't like that word, you better start liking it. You know, I thought about some things, and there's just so much I could say. But, you know, here's where generally speaking, churchdom is. You know, you get saved and you kind of, I'm going to resolve to stop this and I'm going to do better over here. And I'm going to try to follow, you know, this stuff a little bit better. I'm going to get my conduct right. I'm going to try and, you know, help people when I can. And, you know, just sort of live a good life as a citizen of you know, United States or whatever. But then you don't have God's heart and you don't have his mind. You don't have us, you know, here's what we said. Winston, here's what we said. God did not save you to go to heaven. Thank God we're going, but that's not what he saved you. He saved you to live in heavenly places now. So, you know, this scripture that we all know in John 4 that talks about talk about worship, that he's looking for true worshipers. And he's looking for people who's going to worship him where? In the spirit and in truth. These are the true ones. And I'm seeking after people who's going to worship. I'm not just seeking after, he says, people whose sins I can forgive. I'm seeking people who will come up with me and worship me in the spirit and in the truth. And so that's a whole big thing. That's getting you off the earth and getting you into heavenly places and having us explore what his true nature is. And getting out of the natural and getting to the spirit. So I'm looking for worshipers. And that's our ultimate call. His Kezia. Can I still worship him even with what's going on in my life? Okay. Right? Can I still do that? And that's really the crux of the whole universe. See, Satan says, I want you to worship me. I want to put you in a situation where you will be like Job's wife and say, curse God. Okay. curse God and die. And, you know, woman, are you crazy or you're mad, whatever the language is, right? So, can we worship God? Because we're born to worship. We're made to worship. Satan tried to take that place. Y'all remember, Satan tried to take the place of worship and be like God. He had to get cast down. So now, and even with the Jesus going to that big temptation, all I want you to do, Jesus, I'm going to give you all these kingdoms if you fall down and worship me. And here's what I'm trying to get to you real quick today. That worship is spiritual. Worship is spiritual. Right? You worship me in spirit and in worship is spiritual. And it may be, you know, it makes you look at some things. And I hope I can get this across to you very quickly. You know, when I think about Job and all that Job went through, again, Kesey talked about all that Job went through. All the complaining, he had his bad moments, he had, you know, just arguing back with his friends and, you know, why me? Just like Kesey. I call Kesey a Job now. Why me? But, you know what I couldn't get past? And this is what I want, I think this is what the Spirit of God wants to get across to us today very quickly. That it said that with all that Job did, he didn't sin and he didn't charge God foolishly. With all the complaining he did, he still didn't sin and he didn't charge God foolishly. And here's the Lord, you know, you sit on your bedside and those scriptures come up and the Holy Spirit's bringing those up. And he's almost like, what do you think that means? And so, like, I learned to be truthful. I do not know, really. He wasn't going to take my theological answer. Because even though, like he said, even though you sort of get depressed and get caught up and stuff, his heart never stopped worshiping the Father. See, Pastor Jerry said, you know, Pastor Jerry, y'all remember way back this morning, Pastor Jerry said this, way back. And I'm hunching glow. That's my message right there. I'm not going to turn my face from God. No matter what happens, no matter how I feel, no matter what he does to me, no matter what she says, no matter how broke I am, I'm not going to turn my face. Because as soon as I turn my face away from him, I lost my worship. I lost my purpose. I lost my purpose. Even though I make mistakes, I can still keep my face toward God. Here's Adam hiding. Not only did I make a mistake, but I turned my face away. I turned my face away. See? No matter what you go through. I love the Earth, Wind, and Fire song. Keep your head to that sky. Go above the clouds. Jesus, let your face shine on me forever. When my natural man says it's over, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm still going to keep my face. And so even though Job went through so much pain, even though he went through so much difficulty, even though he was out of his mouth, some certain things were being said, and you're like, well, how come he said this? How come he said that? He never sinned, and he never charged God foolishly. So here's how you have to picture BJ. even with all his daily tasks and everything he does, even when he's thinking wrong sometimes, you have to picture BJ still looking in the Father's face and tell him, I love you. I don't feel very good right now, but I still love you. And even though, see, this is what's changing us. We're becoming worshipers. I want you to see in God's mind is, I just want worshipers. And Satan's mind is, I'm going to find a way to get your face off God. Because I don't like worshipers, Satan says. I don't like worshipers. So I'm going to bring people in your life to take down your worship. Forget about getting rich and all that stuff. Are you still a worshiper? See? You know, Shelly, you're going to like this, Shelly. You know why Shelly likes David? Because he's a worshiper. I watch Shelly like them Psalms. Because he's a worshiper. Even though my heart is overwhelmed, 61, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you. That makes you a man after God's own heart. Even though I did wrong with Bathsheba, I still didn't take my face off of you. See, so the natural man says, oh, we need to judge you. The Father says, oh, no, he still worships me. God didn't take away his kingdom. God didn't say, okay, your throne's gone to God. You know, God does that with people who they take their eyes off of him. You hardly see a blip in David's life. He used to never stop me. You know what? I messed up. You know, so here's the thing. This is why I started this off like this. You know, if all we're doing is trying to change some conduct, that's not worship. Can I say that again? If all we're trying, you become a worshiper and let God change the conduct as you. But I seek those who will worship me. Because that's the core. That's the core of your life. God, let me worship you and let me do it in spirit by the Holy Spirit. Let me turn my life over to you. Teach me how to worship. Right? Teach me how to be a worshiper and never take my face off of you. You know, and let the gifts and things come, but let me be a worshiper first and foremost. And teach me how to do it in the spirit. Teach me how to do it in the spirit. Because our lives, we can't know them unless we know them in the spirit. Okay. Have you thought about this? So I'm trying to go slow, right? Have you thought about this? You know, Kristen Davis told the story about the lady. The lady's, was it her husband had the problems? The husband's problems gave the woman an opportunity to go to heaven. Are y'all listening to me? She could have been like that lady who spent all her money on doctors and never gotten better. If I can get you into heaven, I can get you some answers. If I can get you in the spirit, I can get you some answers. If I can get you to true worship, I can get you some answers. See, B comes to me. I don't know why I'm picking on B. B comes to me. I grab him by the head, put him right here. right? Just like this here. And I say, become a worshiper. Go to heaven. Learn what it means to be around the throne. Learn. This is why I try to get Roz and Stan to play that song in the spirit, right? That's not an easy song to play. Right, Stan? Yeah. Can you get it? In the spirit, I'm alive. In the spirit, I can fly. In the spirit, I'm free. If I can get you off the earth. If I can get you off the earth. Do you know it says that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? Do you know that, you know, we can't be just conduct? Do you know we've got to get in the spirit and know it, learn what that means? We got to get elevated and let God show us some things that we've never learned before. Like the lady said, we have to become so conscious of another realm. That's worship. I like this part right here. And so you start, you get up here and you start to see. I start to see Deborah going in the spirit and casting down things that won't be cast down any other way. Are y'all listening? Okay. You start to see it. You know, you can pray earthly and nothing goes any further than. You know, isn't that why we have Daniel praying for how many, 3 weeks? But what was resisting him? Something in the heavenlies, right? Remember that? Okay. Something's up there against you. So here's Satan's like, okay, I got to keep robbing on the earth, right? It didn't work. You talk to Robert after service. Talk to Robert after service. Didn't work. So before Ephesians 6, that we, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, before Ephesians 6, you know, pray in the spirit, right? Pray in the spirit. You have Ephesians 1. We said, I lifted you up in heavenly places. So you can't pray in the spirit unless I get you lifted up to heavenly places. Okay. All right. Here's an example of God's purposes. You know, I read a few days ago this wonderful book called The Heaven's Rule. The name of it is The Heaven's Rule. Okay. And so just to give you an object lesson about this, think about this. This is all, we all know this. What moves the ocean tides? What controls the ocean tides? So even in the natural, the heavens control. Even in the natural. Here's this big old ocean. What controls it? Something up. What did God create? He created the heavens. That's even in natural. So he's trying to tell us that's the same law in the spirit. Until we can reach, get you up into the heavenly places, you can't rule anything down here. Somebody said, God gave me authority. Yeah, but he gave it to you up there. You bind in earth, it'd be bound up there. See, you. So there becomes a little itch in me, right, to grab Tava by the elbow. Come with me up here. See what I see. Cast it down, but from up here. See? Can y'all hear me? So, Kezia's process, Rob's process, everything you go to that pushes you toward heaven, is worship. God, why am I going through this? I'm trying to make you a worshiper. Getting you off the earth. Let you worship in spirit and truth. Glowing, I've seen Rocky turn into a strong worshiper since she's been here. I don't know about James, you know. Just kidding. James is, I've been giving him a hard time all morning. James trying to pass her. So here's this thing that's going on. I'm going to keep lifting you up. I'm going to keep lifting Chantel up. I'm going to keep lifting Chantel up, you know. All those mistakes and stumbles, as long as we're stumbling upward, are y'all listening to me? Are you listening to me? It's no different than a lower's mistakes. As long as she keeps growing upward while she makes them, I heard Rocky always say this, don't judge me. Don't judge her. Let her make the mistakes upward. Almost like God expects that. I don't want you sitting around doing nothing. I'd rather see you make a mistake as long as you make it going upward toward the heavenly places. Are you listening? Because I seek for worshipers. Just give me worshipers. I don't care about their mistakes. Just give me worshipers. I got the blood. Just give me worshipers. He knows we're just frail. David's mistakes were upward. Abraham's mistakes were upward. Pastor Jerry's mistakes were upward. All of our mistakes should be going upward. I'd rather make my mistakes but see his glory. I'd rather be weak and let the glory of God rest on me than sit in a corner and just try to do good conduct. By the way, the nicest person that you ever met in your life, nicest, sweetest person you ever met in your life in the natural is prone to blow you away at a moment's notice. Don't ever trust that. Don't ever trust that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's amazing how much patience God has with us. It's kind of amazing. Because he wants you in the spirit so bad. On the other hand, there's a plan by Satan every day to keep you in the natural and keep you in yourself and keep you on this earth. And to keep you from becoming a worshiper. And to keep you self-focused. I come in here Sunday, Wednesday, whatever, Monday, Tuesday, even with the crossroads. God, let's worship today. No matter what's happening, turn us into your spiritual offspring that you designed. That's why I like your song. That was a design for us to be in heavenly places. Get me off of this earth. Turn me out that you're seeking after. True worshipers, I want to be one of those. I don't even know what it means. I don't even know how you get there. But help me to surrender. And let worship take over the whole thing. And live my life in your presence. And let your love shower down on me. And let the joy and gladness of the Lord take over. I do not want and it's probably a contradiction in terms, I do not want a carnal Christian life. And that's probably, like one man said, that's a contradiction in terms. A carnal Christian, in God's mind, there isn't, you know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be going after that thing. Do not want it. Let your fire burn. Let the light of God burn. Turn me into a true worshiper. Let your heart be glad about what I'm doing. And be Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Tony, can you come and...
Amen, amen. I was just absorbing all of that in from Kezia and Pastor. A lot of people, I mean, don't know this about me. My grandma knows. I often talk about it. But there's two things that just always mess my spirit up. And it's not because I'm fearful of it, you know. It's just I hate the thought of it. And that's death and sickness. Like, when I hear people go through it, it really does something to my spirit. I don't know why, but I have a sensitivity to it. So I often pray and constantly are asking God to move. And I'm, you know, I've witnessed my miracles, and I've also had my share of, why, Lord? Why hasn't it happened yet? You know, Kezia is one of them. But the fact of seeing her faith constantly still holding strong, you know, I always tell them, like, sis, I'm still praying for you. Still praying for you. I often say it, and because it's true. I pray on it constantly. Same with Pastor Jerry and a lot of you others in this room. I don't know why, but God has always given me a sensitivity to it. And it's funny that she mentioned the story of this, how the disciples weren't able to cast out that demon. Like Pastor say, we have to get with God. The image of Christ is what those demons respond to. Sickness responds to his image, his commands. The authority that we receive is because of the image of him living on the inside of us, what we're walking in daily. That is what God is trying to get to us. See, I was looking up, when we were talking about worship, I was looking up the word Eden. And, you know, the definition of Eden in the Webster dictionary is a paradise and a garden, a beautiful garden. But I think they got it wrong. The real definition of Eden is to be with God, to be one with God. God planned us. He said, let us create man. He wanted someone to be one with, like connected with. He never placed us there. If we would have stayed in the garden, I really believe that we would never have had the opportunity to taste what God really has for us. Like the pain that we've gone through since the fall, is that exalt, to be able to be exalted with Christ. You see, I don't know if y'all understand it, like what I'm trying to say, but God had a plan for that fall. Even when we fail, God didn't want us to fall, but with that plan, he had a purpose for that fall. And it's a painful fall because we're experiencing death. You know what I'm saying? We have to experience a death, something that we were never supposed to experience. But God said, I had a purpose and a plan that Satan, even Satan couldn't see. He thought he won. He's like, I got him. Oh, dang, he done sent Jesus. Oh, I'm going to take him out, too. I got him. But God has a purpose. Every time that Satan makes a move, God is already 3,000-4,000 steps ahead. God already knows. All we have to do is, just like David said, taste and see. Taste and see. God has a purpose, and we can only taste and see it once we go through. He's like, you don't see it right now, but taste and see. Kezia, you're going to taste and see. Pastor Jerry, you're going to taste and see. Robert, you're going to taste and see. All of us in this room are going to taste and see. Death has no victory over God. This sickness, it has no victory. It has no reign. But we have to make sure we taste and see. The only way we can taste and see is to get with the Father, to get with Christ.
to let the Spirit take over. That's when our worship can be the Eden that it was always supposed to be, because we don't have to worry about a fall ever again. We don't ever have to experience a death ever again. The Lord said whether I have these people, they were asking about Judas, and he says, whether I have him, if he lives for eternity or not, I wish I had to verbatim, but it's basically, it concerns you not. It concerns you not. The only thing we are supposed to be concerned with is the purpose of getting closer to God for that true worship, walking in spirit and truth. We can't do that if we allow the devil to keep distracting us with our pains. Even just witnessing pain can be a distraction. Witnessing y'all suffering can distract me, because it can make me get fleshly. Like, well, I prayed about it. Why it didn't happen yet? The scripture says, if I believe it, if I have faith and I bring it before you, you'll do it. But the Lord said, no, it doesn't work like that. See, I got to get my spiritual mind connected with God, because the flesh like to take over. It still wants to exalt itself above God. So we have to cast that down. God, when it's your time, and God knows, you'll know when that healing is here. You'll know it. You'll wake up. This is just for me, something I experienced. Ever since I was a kid, I've been dealing with knee pains. Even when I was, like, younger, I don't know why I had knee pains, and it affected, you know, I wanted to be a basketball player, so it affected me, and I used to cry about it, because sometimes I couldn't get up in the morning. It would be so painful after running or exercising, and I was praying for it for years, to a point where I was like, all right, God, whatever. It's like, I'm just going to deal with it, but I was like, I'm going to trust that it's going to get better, but I'm just going to just keep moving. And, you know, and I think, I don't know what happened, but it was a few years back, but, and the doctor told me, he said, you're not going to be able to play basketball again. He says, you had some issues that were going on your knee. The only way it'll get better is if you don't exercise, don't play, don't do any stuff. And that hurt me. You know, that really hurt me, because I'm like, I just want to play, even just for the fun of it, just the love of it. And I was like, Lord, are you really going to take that away? I already accepted I'm not going to the NBA. I already accepted I'm not playing college ball. I'm already accepted I'm not going overseas. I'm okay with that. But don't you taking it away from me completely? Like, why? And I was like, you know what, Lord? If that's the case, so be it. I don't want it to be like that, but okay, Lord. I trust that you got this under you and everything in your hands, my healing, everything. But if it's not supposed to happen, I'm not going to do it. So I think I stopped playing for about 2 months. I kind of just focused on exercising. And the Lord kind of brought it back to my attention, the conversation with the doctor. And he was just like, go out, you know, just go grab a basketball, go outside. And that's the worst thing you could do for your knees, is go play on asphalt. So I was like, I'm going to go out there. And I just start shooting around. And I was like, man, Craig came out with me, and I said, man, I know I'm going to feel this tomorrow. And he said, your knees still be bothering me? I was like, it hasn't bothered me in a while. I said, now that you say it, but I was like, I haven't been doing anything either, but we'll see tomorrow. So I played, like, you know, day after, no pain. Couple days later, still no pain. Go back out there again. And I was like, I'm going to go a little harder this time. And just long story short, I haven't had any pain for about 2-3 years now. So God is good. Now, it's not, it doesn't seem that big, you know, to many people. It doesn't seem that big. But when you have a passion for something, when you're desperately in love with something, like, we're desperately in love with our health. We're desperately in love with, you know, daily activities, like she said. We don't realize how much that stuff plays a part in our everyday character. And when somebody takes that away, if something takes that away, you can't do it anymore. It almost feels like they take a part of you. And God, I'm just letting y'all know that God spiritually has a purpose for everything you go through. If I would have went to the NBA, if I would have went to play college ball, if I would have went overseas, I had this conversation with Pastor when I had an opportunity to go play college ball. And but God was doing so much in my spiritual life at the time that Pastor was saying, he's like, I want you to weigh the options. What's more important to you? And at that time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a little bit more time. And that opportunity, it did fade, but I spiritually grew. God did something. I was witnessing, during that time, I was witnessing miracles in the hospital. I mean, miracles. I witnessed men raise up. I've prayed over people. I watched people, you know, God gave me dates and times. Like, he gave me specifics, things that I would have never experienced. And that's why I constantly want to pray for everybody when they go through stuff. It's because I know the power of God for y'all lives. I know the power. God wants healing. God wants you to experience that, the earthly manifestations. But he has to do something spiritually in us first. He has to turn some wheels inside of our lives. And sometimes those wheels aren't just to affect you, but it's to affect that next person, the person next to you, to build their faith as well. Now, I'm going to go ahead and close up, but I just want to encourage you all just to keep praying for one another. You know, if anybody's not thoughts, you know, anybody come up in your mind, just throw it, even if it's just a quick prayer, like, Lord, just keep your hands on them, Lord God. Keep them covered. Because like Pastor said, we don't know, just like Danny, we don't know what's stopping those angels. We don't know what's stopping that's happening in the heavens. We're not heavenly minded enough to know what's happening up there right now. But we can always say, Lord God, whatever's in the atmosphere, oh, Lord God, prepare us for it. Oh, Lord God, bless Pastor Jerry. Pastor Lorraine. Bless Pastor Roz. Keep them covered. Keep protect them from the enemy. Whatever it may be that comes in your heart. And I guarantee you that through those little quiet prayers that you might have, you don't know how much that might be affecting that spiritual atmosphere. But with that being said, I'm going to pray us out. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, oh Lord God, for each and every person in this room, Lord God. Everybody who is going through something, Lord God, you know it, Lord God, and you concerned about it, Lord God. Who are we that you are mindful of us? But Lord God, we are your children, Lord God. We are your seeds, oh Lord God. Heavenly Father, continue to grow us up spiritually, Lord God. Heavenly Father, teach us true worship, Lord God. Heavenly Father, whatever pains or whatever hardships or situations that we may be dealing with personally, Lord God, Heavenly Father, we place them before your throne, Lord God. And Heavenly Father, we just lay down and submit our lives to you, Lord God. Whatever your will is, Lord, let it be, Lord God, because you know what's best for us. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, and our purpose is not just heaven, but it's, Lord God, to be unified in one body with you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we just pray that your angels will not be blocked, oh Lord God, as it carries out blessings and carries out your orders of deliverance over our lives, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, oh Lord God, for the words and the message and the testimonies that have gone forth today. Heavenly Father, we pray that you wrap each and every one of us, oh Lord God, who are going through the mental depression or the physical declines, oh Lord God. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you wrap them up, oh Lord God, in your peace. But Lord God, we also wrap them up, oh Lord God, in your grace, oh Lord God, which is sufficient for each and every one of those ailments, Lord God. So we just thank you, oh Lord God, as we leave here today, oh Lord God, and we just glorify you in Jesus' name.